Who doesn't like a good murder mystery story with intrigue, the underdog becoming victorious, where the plot twists and turns, heroic deeds, bravery, the heroes and the heroines having faith and the desire to do what is right, that their cause is just and that they will be delivered? Now, I'm not talking about Lord of the Rings or a John Grisham novel, but quite a lesser-known story in the Bible, one which we don't hear much about. In fact, I was driving down the other day thinking, when was the last time I heard it? I thought, well, it must be about 20 years ago. And I sat and thought, actually, it's probably closer to 40, 45 years ago. But one which is recorded also in the faith chapter in Hebrews 11, verse 32. You don't have to turn there. But it says, and what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Japheth and also David, Samuel and the prophets. So this story is mentioned in the faith chapter. A little while back, one of my children asked me about a section in the Bible and why someone who murdered another in cold blood would be praised. So the murder mystery in question is in Judges 4, verse 21. And Jael, Hebor's wife, took a tent peg and took a hammer in her hand and went softly to him and drove the peg into his temple. And it went down into the ground, for he was fast asleep and weary. So he died. And over the next chapter, in chapter 5, verse 24, most blessed among women is Jael, the wife of Hebor, the Canaanite. Blessed is she among the women in tents. And to keep Mrs. Henderson happy, the title for the sermonette, Most Blessed Amongst Women. Now, this story unfolds in chapter 4 and is also retold in the Song of Deborah in chapter 5. And in order to get the full story with all the detail, you need to jump backwards and forwards between the two. So hopefully, chapter 4 and chapter 5 in your Bible is on opposing faces, which make it easier. So let's do a little bit of theme setting. It's the time of judges, and there's a lady called Deborah who is a prophetess and a judge in Israel. 20 years prior to the story, Israel had been taken into captivity because of the sins and their transgressions, as noted in Judges 4, verse 1. But we'll start this account off in chapter 5, verse 8. They chose new gods. Then there was war in the gates. Not a shield or a spear was seen among 40,000 in Israel. So Israel chose new gods. They went into captivity and noticed that all of the weapons were confiscated from them. So even if Israelites had an army, they had no weapons. Something to be remembering later on in the story. So Jabin is the king ruling over them. And if you cross-reference 1 Samuel 12:9, you'll see that whilst Jabin is the king, the Israelites were sold into the hand of Sisera, the commander of the army of Hazor. And for 20 years, the commander Sisera harshly oppressed the Israelites, trying to recover the territory that was once ruled by the kings of Hazor. Sisera had 900 chariots of iron. And whilst that refers to the material used to make them, normally it also implies that they have scythes fitted to the wheels, so in battle they could cut down anybody who came near to them. To make things even worse at that time, the land was pretty much bandit territory. Verse 6 of chapter 5, it says, in the days of Jael, the highways were deserted and the travellers walked along the byways. The land of Israel was a bit of a mess. Bandits roaming freely, forcing people to take the byways, in captivity, enforced harshly by a man who confiscated all their weapons so there couldn't be an uprising. Strangely enough, this resulted in the Israelites crying out to God for deliverance. So, chapter 4 and verse 6. We'll pick up the story with Deborah. Then she sent and called for Barak, son of Abinoam, from Kedesh in Naphtali, and said to him, has not the Lord God of Israel commanded, go and deploy troops at Mount Tabor? Take with you 10,000 men of the sons of Naphtali and the sons of Zebulun. And against you I will deploy Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude at the river of Kishron. And I will deliver him into your hand. Barak was the one that was mentioned in Hebrews 11. He was commanded to take the troops. Those troops had no weapons, and that what God would deliver Sisera into his hand. That takes faith. Notice also the locations of the battle. Barak and the troops would be on Mount Tabor. They had the high ground. Sisera would be in the low areas, by the river Kishon. Mount Tabor is a tactical advantage due to its location and the high ground, but the lower land is where Sisera could use his chariots to maximum effect to maneuver them and wield their tactical advantage against the infantry. Now, this next verse that we're going to read changes the whole course of this story, as well as the outcome of the story. That means Jael is now going to be introduced into this story. So the next verse, and Barak said to her, "If you will go with me, then I will go. But if you will not go with me, I will not go." Now, there is some speculation amongst the commentators that this is Barak lacking faith. But if that's the case, then why is he in Hebrews 11 being specifically mentioned in the faith chapter? Whilst his answer should have been, "Yes, ma'am," and taking the troops as instructed by God, many scholars propose that it is the human logically view that Barak wanted Deborah as God's prophetess to be there, so God could tell Deborah, and then subsequently him, the exact time to strike Sisera. So there is a human logic to that, but it was not what the original instruction was. The original instruction was take the troops, not to take the troops with Deborah. And because of that, we read in verse 9, "So she said, I will surely go with you. Nevertheless, there will be no glory for you in the journey you are taking, for the Lord will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. Then Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kedesh." Now, there's an interesting little bit here. The word sell used here is marka, Strong's number 04376, and it means to sell, or seller, to be sold, to sell oneself, to be given over to death. Strong's lexicon also adds the following to the understanding. The lexicon says the meaning is to sell, and the definition is to sell or to betray. The Hebrew verb makar primarily means to sell. It is used in the context of commercial transactions where goods, property, or even individuals, such as servants or captives, are exchanged for money and other compensation. The term can also carry the connotation of betrayal, as selling someone into the hands of another often implies a breach of trust or loyalty. Carrying on in the story, in verse 10, Barak with Deborah, along with the 10,000 men under his command, go up onto Mount Tabor. Verse 11, now enters Hebor, the Canaanite, into the story. The Canaanites had once been allies with Israel, but they had now become allies with Sisera. And in verse 12, Hebor sends reports to Sisera that Barak and 10,000 men have gathered on Mount Tabor. So in verse 13, so Sisera gathered together all his chariots, 900 chariots of iron, and all the people who were with him, from Haraseth Hagoyim, pronunciation probably lacking, to the river Kishon. Sisera both had the tactical advantage as well as the manpower advantage over Barak and his army. Anyone placing odds would be firmly in favour of Sisera routing Barak and the Israelites. Verse 14. Then Deborah said to Barak, "Up, for this is the day in which the Lord has delivered Sisera into your hand. Has not the Lord gone out before you?" So Barak went down from Mount Tabor with 10,000 men following him. Drop down to chapter 5, verse 13. Parallel account in the Song of Deborah. Then the survivors came down, the people against the nobles. The Lord came down for me against the mighty. Remember, Sisera, over the last 20 years, had confiscated all weapons and shields. So Barak and his 10,000 men under him were unarmed infantry. Dropping down to verse 20 and 22 of chapter 5, we see how God changes the odds in his favor. They fought from the heavens. The stars from their courses fought against Sisera. The torrents of Kishon swept them away. The ancient torrent, the torrent of Kishon, O my soul, march on in strength. Then the horse's hooves pounded, the galloping of his steeds. The River Kishon is generally drier in the summer months, but can quickly and easily go into flood. Seven commentators speculate here we are either seeing God supernaturally flooding the river or potentially using a huge rainstorm in the mountains which feed into the Kishon, thus flooding the lower lands where Sisera and his chariots and his army are either crossing into Kishon or in the land immediately adjacent to it on the floodplains. Clark's commentary says the following: the Lord discomfited Sisera. Don't you just love the language? Confounded them and threw them all into confusion, drove them pell-mell, caused chariots to break and overthrow chariots, threw universal disorder into all their ranks. In this case, Barak and his men had little to do but to kill and pursue. One would assume that because they had no weapons of their own, they seized them from the panic army in front of them. Chapter 4 and verse 15, Sisera alights from his chariot and flees away on foot. And verse 17, however, Sisera had fled away on foot to the tent of Jael, the wife of Hebo, the Canaanite. For there was peace between Jabin, king of Hazor, and the house of Hebo, the Kenite. Notice the plot twist here. Jael is the wife of Hebo, the one who is allied with Sisera, even with a peace agreement between them. Remember, Hebo was the one who actually sent message to Sisera saying, Barak and his men are gathered on Mount Tabor. Come and sort them out. So Sisera was amongst friends, allies. He is actually in the company of the wife of one of his most loyal allies, Hebo. There is actually nothing for him to fear here. He is safe. Or is he? Now, when you understand the customs and hospitality at these times, what happens next is even more surprising. And Jael went out to meet Sisera in verse 18 and said to him, turn aside, my lord. Do not fear. And when he had turned aside with her into the tent, she covered him with a blanket. Then he said to her, please give me a little water to drink, for I am thirsty. So she opened a jug of milk, gave him to drink, and covered him. And verse 25 of chapter 5, he asked for water, she gave milk. She brought out cream in a lordly bowl. So by Sisera entering the tent and asking for water, he is literally demanding protection. By Jael offering milk, or probably better described as buttermilk, and offered in her best drinking vessel, that was, by definition, a very serious acceptance of the customs to offer guests safety and protection. And in verse 20, and he said to her, stand at the door of the tent, and if any man comes and inquires of you, and says, is there any man here, you shall say no. Jael's tent would have been separate from her husband's tent, and no man would ever even think of entering a lady's tent. Sisera believed that if he was within her tent, and if anybody came searching for him, they would believe Jael when she said, there's no man inside. It was also custom that when you entered somebody's tent, that your safety was guaranteed and protection given. Furthermore, when food and drink are offered, this was a solemn vow not to harm them. From the standpoint of the culture, Jael offering to hide Sisera and offering him buttermilk was practically a sworn oath that she would not only protect Sisera, but seek his good. Sisera lay down from an exhausting day, fell into a deep sleep, one which comes from knowing that you are safe and you will be protected, even at the expense of your host's well-being. Verse 21, chapter 4. Then Jael, Hebor's wife, took a tent peg, took a hammer in her hand, and went softly to him and drove the peg into his temple, and it went down into the ground, for he was fast asleep and weary, so he died. Strange weapon, you might think, but it was actually the woman's work to erect the tents and put the tent pegs in, so Jael would have been very apt at using these tools. According to Herbert Locker, she may have acted out of practical necessity. Sisera was in flight and Barak was in pursuit. It would not have been wise to allow Barak to find Sisera in her tent. She also knew that Sisera would be killed if captured. Therefore, she would kill him and thus cement friendship with the victor. Humanly approach. Sisera had been sold into Jael's hand, just as we read in chapter 4, verse 9, or as we read in the commentary and Strong's, betrayed, because Sisera was betrayed under the laws of hospitality, and he was also given over to death. Verse 22, and then as Barak pursued Sisera, Jael came out to meet him and said, come, I will show you the man whom you seek. And when he went into her tent, there lay Sisera dead with a peg in his temple. Chapter 5, verse 24. Most blessed among women is Jael, the wife of Hebor, the Canaanite. Blessed is she among women in tents. God had answered the cries of the Israelites and ended the harsh oppression of the Israelites through using Jael, who actually, if you recall, wouldn't have actually been in the story if Barak had actually just gone and taken the troops without saying, Deborah, if you don't come with me, I'm not going. Chapter 4, verse 8 and 9 changed the story. The final footnote, this is just intriguing on the side. Jael means mountain goat, which produces milk. Deborah means bee, which produces honey. God promised that the land would be flowing with milk and honey. Just a side note, but he chose two people whose names mean milk and honey. Verse 31, chapter 5. Thus let all your enemies perish, O Lord, but let those who love him be like the sun when it comes out in full strength. And so the land rested for 40 years.